Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
Hi, welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. I remembered that! From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, I'm Gregor, and he used to work at... He was the managing editor. We couldn't remember what his title was.
Oh, that's right. We literally say it every week, and we're like, whatever you used to, content guy, content curator.
He's Brandon from the internet.
They just called me a managing editor to make me feel good about myself.
Like you didn't manage anybody?
It didn't work.
Neither of us is a scientist, has self-esteem, an engineer, or a supervillain, but if you are, let us know what we're getting wrong, or perhaps what we're getting right. Also, if you could write a review, if you're listening to this on demand, that would be a great job. Or just holler at us with your answer to this episode's question of the week.
This episode's question of the week is, what is this episode's question of the week?
Chime in at nerdtalkplus.com, all of our socials and every other way to get in on that.
Yeah, how about if you're listening, ask us a question of the week. This seems like a very one-sided relationship. Like, we're always the ones asking all of the questions. I demand more. You know what? I just started watching Love is Blind. Have you heard of this show?
Boy. Yeah, I haven't watched it, though.
Well, I have a friend who is friends of a... person who was on this show. And so I was very curious about how this goes, and it's a train wreck. I mean, like, the whole show is terrible and it's a train wreck, and within 5 seconds of starting the show you can just Google how it all ends, so that way you can kind of not waste your time. But it's a enjoyable train wreck, right?
Yeah.
So it is really interesting, and one of the women on the show has been married twice so she's trying to find love, and she says that she just wasn't getting out of the relationship what she was putting into it. And damn it, that's exactly how I feel right now. So ask us our question of the week.
It's a little AMA from the from the dummies at our dumb podcast, but that's not what we're doing today. Update. We haven't talked in a while.
Yeah.
Brandon's been missing, and then we had a holiday, and it was a whole thing, right? But an update. I competed in my first Rubik's Cube contest. I know why I said Rubik's Cube contest. Rubik's Cube contest in, 9 years, I think it was. Yeah, something like that. I show up to this event. It was in Kent at the Kent Community Commons. My buddy Nick Vu helped start this whole thing, okay, back like a dozen years ago, and he got me to help him build it. And we had probably 40 or 50 people when we were competing back then. After one day, this event had sold out. It had booked up with 120 competitors, and then they opened it up to like 150 or something like that. Question of the week, where do you think your pal Gerg placed in the top 150?
420th.
Nice. It was not top 69 as planned.
So out of 150, and the last time you competed was 9 years ago. Your score is somewhere around a 23 second solve, right?
My best ever is a... I'll find it for you right now. Actually, I have it open. My best ever is a 23.76.
Okay. Man, that's for me to like memorize your Rubik's Cube stats like I would a baseball player, like a baseball card. I gotta get Gregor's Rubik's Cube card. I want your rookie card from 9 years ago. we should do that. We should make you a Rubik's Cube, professional Rubik's Cuber card, and start getting people to collect them like baseball cards. I'm gonna say that you ranked 111th out of 150.
You're so close. It's ridiculous. It's the apropos rank. I finished 107 out of 150 something. That's 107.7 the ends. Gregor, with a 107.
You couldn't have done that if you tried.
No. I was trying and I couldn't do what I needed, let alone. My first solve after 9 years away, I'm like nervous as hell. I already have a tremor. I'm shaking and shuddering and everything. I go to do the last move. I'm having a pretty good time. I make a mistake and I turn the cube again and it's over. And I just set it down. I just look at the guy and I'm like, DNF, did not finish. And he goes, man, you were so close. And I was like, I know. It's a really cool community of like nerds, obviously. it's mostly kids under 15, I would say. Then there's like a handful of teenage to 20 something year olds. And then there's like nine weird old guys standing around.
Yeah.
It, me, in the words of John Manley, sub dummy. But I, if you compete for as many rounds as you compete, you have to also judge. So I do my solves, and then I have to flip it around and sit down. And basically what a solve looks like, or a competition looks like, is you have 15 seconds to examine the cube when they bring it over. And the judge holds a stopwatch times, and at 8 seconds, they go 8 seconds. And then at 12 seconds, they go 12 seconds, at which case you should put the cube down, put your hands on the timer, and start going. It's very easy, and they just need someone there to make sure that kids aren't cheating, or, you know, the simple little rules and stuff. It turns out that me as a dad sitting in that seat and kids coming over and sitting down, I might be the best thing that could happen to some of these kids. Like, one kid was wearing like a Black Tones t-shirt or something like that. It was like a badass with long hair. And I was like, look at you. You're a real badass here with your Black Tones t-shirt. Or no, it was Black Pumas. I saw the Black Tones over the weekend. But anyway, he had a cool shirt on. And like, then when he came, I judged for him again. And he came over and he was like a little more warmed up. And then I saw him afterwards. And, you know, he's like 10 or 11 probably. And he's looking at me like, oh, there's the... Yeah. There's the guy that's not my dad that's lame. Yeah. There's a guy that's like another dad that's cool. And I felt like New Balance cool for a second. It was pretty neat. So,
when you first started talking, I kind of had a question, yeah, but I think you've just answered it, which is that, so originally my question is, why does it seem like there's a lot of these types of hobbies, or sports, if you will, or like my mom's boyfriend, for instance, is really into like, okay, you won't. Okay. It's not a sport. My mom's boyfriend is like really into, one of the things where you get the like Warhammer or something like that, or like where there's like little, you paint the characters and stuff, or there's like the big Star Wars game. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it, like there's a lot of like fleets that you have.
I think it's called X-Wing or something, isn't it? Like, isn't there? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. And I'm always like, you know, we'll go get lunch at like the mall for my birthday this year. And before they went, they spent like 40 minutes in the toy store, you know, toys and game store. And I'm like, man, like, why is it like a bunch of young little guys and then like a bunch of old dudes? But then you answered my question, because it's like, oh, because the young guys make the old guys feel cool and the old guys make the young guys feel cool.
I wouldn't say I did a lot of making many people feel cool, but it was nice. A kid sits down, they're hella nervous like I was, and I sit down, I'm like, hey, what's your time? Like, what are you? And one kid's like, oh, I'm sub 35 or whatever, and then he gets like a 31. I can high five him and be like, yeah, man, because I know that that's awesome for him. And it's like an instant, like, his parents cheer with their cell phones out, videotaping him from the restricted area, you know, that thing. But, like, I know what his times are because I've asked, and then I can engage him. And so then they, like, feel accomplished or whatever. And if they don't get it, I can respond.
Yeah, and all anybody wants is to feel validated, right? Like, whether you're whether you're competing at Rubik's Cube, you sound like the Swedish chef. A Rubik's Cube, a doob. Everybody just wants to be like, oh, I wore this shirt today. And like, everybody thinks, oh, that guy thinks he's cool, so I'm not going to say anything to that guy because he already knows he's cool. But when all that guy wants is for somebody to call him cool to his face, you know?
Guys, Brandon's a sharp dresser. He just needs you to tell him so.
Yeah,
next
please.
Time you see him, say, Brandon, you're a sharp dresser.
Yeah, say, Brandon, I like your shirt or whatever.
So, drum roll. We don't have a drum roll. But the whole goal of me rejoining the Rubik's Cube world was to take my ranking of 89,000th and change in the world and get myself so I was top 69,000.
I mean, if you could get on the money, that'd be best.
69,420.
Yeah, thank you.
I wish I could pay for that ranking just to hold it. Like that. Nope, he bought his way into that one ranking. Well, drum roll is for after one round where I was eliminated because I was not in the top 100 to make it to round two, I finished 107th with a 26.86, 3 seconds slower than my best time.
There's always another one, right? Yeah. Another. Are there like multiple of these?
There's one on Saturday.
Rubik's? Oh, okay, perfect.
And it's in Mill Creek, like right by my house. which is dope. So I'm on the wait list. I'm not on the like confirmed list yet, so we'll see.
Can you just go like do like rogue cubing out front?
I was actually thinking of like going by karate first across the street and then showing up in my gi and like threatening to beat someone up if they don't let me in. Because what's going to be more terrifying to a bunch of kids than a karate man, right?
In full kit.
Now, you remember what my pictures look like from karate, where it's like full kit and maximum intensity.
Yeah.
Like, too far intensity. Go to my Instagram, @HeyGregor, and see it for yourself, because it is pinned at the top, and it is exquisite.
You walk up in the gi, everybody like gets out of your way and lets you in, and you're like, haha, they're so scared of my gi and my karate, and they're like, no, dude, it's the sword that you're holding that nobody wants to be near.
Why is it dripping blood? Like, well, also, are you wounded? Like, did you stab yourself? Like, I just need to compete. Yeah. No, the ER's right around the corner, so.
number of selves accidentally stabbed. 1. That's going on the back of my rookie card.
An own goal for the sport. Anyway. Yeah, so I actually got, so many people have competed since I took up this challenge. I'm actually now ranked in the world 90,972nd.
And so, I hate that you can do nothing and get worse. That's how life is, right?
Been doing a lot of nothing and getting way worse. Way worse. So anyway, I just thought that was a little self-indulgent update. I apologize. But for real, though, our friend Kelly Schutz hit me up on Instagram. I posted a video of me doing Rubik's Cube, and she was like, how did you do that anyway? But then she followed it up with a guess, and she was like, is it pattern recognition? And I was like, good for you not being like, I did it once. No, you didn't, first of all. No one just accidentally solved the Rubik's Cube one time. Like, that's not a thing, Deb. And then the other thing is that people, like, never provide any insight into like what their like how it might be done. They go, you know what I used to do, and I'm like, peel the stickers off, dude. And yeah, that's always the answer. So if you were about to say that into the void as you're listening to this, thank you for listening, and also how dare you. So yeah, but she was like, is it pattern recognition? I was like, I'm so proud to know anyone who can even start to form a guess at this. So shout outs to Kelly. Anyway,
I wonder if there's a Rubik's Cube competition for who can actually peel the stickers off the fastest and put them back on in the correct way.
You genius! Now, the other thing that I always appreciated from people when they'd say, they'd be like, you know what I used to do? And I'd be like, here it comes. I wanted to have business cards printed up that just said I used to peel the stickers off and be like, hold up my hand and give them the card and then wait to see how they reacted. You know, like a real smug
Yeah.
But occasionally, somebody would say, I used to take it apart and put it back together. And for me, that's a lot cooler. If you'd bust the thing apart and then reassemble it, that's like a... I don't know why that satisfies me more, probably because it doesn't ruin the stickers if you do it that way. And like people like take the stickers off and then they get it wrong and then it's unsolvable. And then someone like me comes around and after like 5 seconds, I'm like, this is unsolvable. This is unsolvable, bartender. They're like, yeah, dude, I don't know. And I'm like, no, but I do. And I need validation, please, that I know that, okay, nerd. So,
they hand you a sticker, right back that says you're a nerd. Yeah, like dork. You shouldn't know that.
But that would also be
your
90,000th
in the world.
You know, like dudes like Forrest Gump taking the gun apart and then putting it back together, and him, like, while everyone's taking their time, and Bubba's talking about Shrimp Scampi and all that. I want that Rubik's Cube contest where you have the cube, someone has smashed it apart into a million pieces, and then we're going to see who can reassemble it the fastest for, like, the dads out there that are coming.
I've always thought that, like, a weird...
I'm sorry.
Clip that. I've always thought that a weirdly calming thing to do would be to, like, when something gets... if a really... big ball of string is really tangled or something like that, or like if something ever gets tangled, like super tangled, like a cable, and you have to unknot it, and it can seem really complicated, right? But my wife like will have a really thin necklace or something like that, and then it gets all, you know, ratted up, and so I have to fix it, and she's like, oh, don't worry about it, it takes a lot of time, and I'm like, no, like I actually have to fix this now, and it's kind of like a
this is my pimple popping.
Exactly, it's like kind of a calming thing. I've always thought that about like if you shredded a piece of paper, like putting it all back together to see if you could get it exactly right, you know? Weird.
What show did that? Did Brooklyn Nine-Nine do that? Is that? Yeah.
Can I tell you, speaking of activities,
yeah.
So I did a bike ride over the weekend, over Memorial Day weekend, and I thought during my bike ride that I was doing super well, because on this, it was a race, and on this race I passed like 70 people. There's like staggered start times, and I still got like out of 450 something like 270th or something like that. I learned recently about this activity, and it's I don't know the name of it, but basically you're trying to do 50 total. Okay, 50 total. 50 times, yeah. So
I recently learned about this activity.
No, I'm not going to say it. 50 total times. Dang it, now you've got me. So you have to do 50 total, and 50 total of what, you might say.
I'm coming.
50 total of what, you might say. Well, here's what it is. You have to do 50 miles. Between miles, beers, and donuts, you have to do 50 in a day. Okay,
so of each?
No, 50 total. So
I could drink 49 beers and ride 1 mile and see how funny that would be.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's crazy because you see these people try to accomplish it, and one guy will be like, "Oh, that's easy. I'll just eat 50 Krispy Kreme donuts," and they get to like 20 of them, and they're like, "Oh my god, like I have to think about this more." And then they're like, "Oh, I better start running," and then they've already had 20 donuts, you know, or like somebody will run, you know, thinking I'll just run as long as I can. But if you're just like me, who is like, I'm even somewhat active, and I can't run more than like, I don't know, I could run 13 miles and feel terrible, absolutely terrible about myself, and be in pain for like a month.
But which would you feel worse about, eating 13 donuts or running 13 miles? Because for me, that answer is easy.
13.
It's the running.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the running. I will eat donuts all day.
Yeah, dude, for sure. I didn't get this gut like running. Yeah. That's for sure.
I've just been really.
Is it running or biking? Is
running.
This race?
No, it's
you're talking
so
about?
I did the race that I did was running, but this like activity, this event, this like self personal.
No, the race that you did was biking.
Sorry, yeah. This event slash thing is 50 miles or beers or donuts running. So yeah. It'd be too easy if it was on the bike. If I think,
what was the thing we were supposed to do on our dumb podcast with the where you run a lap and then drink a pound of beer?
Oh, the beer mile.
You say it's like 4 laps around a track and you have to chug a beer each time.
Yeah.
You want to do that?
Have you? I've done a beer mile once.
Yeah.
And we should do it. It's terrible. Yeah, it's
can we
not
do
fun.
It like I live in a place that you have to run 11 laps around the loop that I live on to run a mile. Can we do it there? Like, could we do like 11 shots of beer, one for each lap that we run or something like that? I don't,
my like, gosh.
Like, because then like if you need to barf or whatever, like at least you have my house to do it for like another few weeks or whatever. Or you know, you're not on like a high school track where they get mad at you or whatever for doing it, because you're not supposed to have booze on campus. All my Indian neighbors would be like, "What is going on?" I'd be like, "Come on, get in, let's go."
Let's do this.
I have a very clueless question to ask. Do Indian people party? Like, do they crush beers and act wild?
My buddy Nishant does.
Yeah, Nishant, what up? Yeah, because there's all these people, and like we're not socializing. We are like parenting out in the streets together, and I'm 10 years older than all of them, and it's like they're like very kind and nice to me, and I am definitely not included. And so it's like, which is fine. I don't need to be or whatever. But I never know if these people, like when they're like out 2 in the morning in the yards yelling about stuff, I'm like, are you drunk, or are you guys just like that fired up to be away from your sleeping kids?
Yeah, these are the hours you keep, or are you drunk? Right.
Yeah.
I've always thought that the Indian like holidays and festivals look the most fun out of any culture.
Absolutely.
Except for the one where you get like run over by bulls in Spain. That one seems pretty fun.
No, that seems like you're really.
I just had 40 donuts. I don't need to run 10 miles in front of a bull.
Wait, you said this was not. You didn't say there was bulls.
I heard beer mile, not bull mile.
I want to try it, man. I'm in probably the worst shape of my life right now, but I want to try the. No, not the worst shape. When I was like 27, I was in the worst shape of my life.
I'm, it's amazing, right? I can't wait to put the, yeah, that is crazy. I can't wait to put your beer mile, like, time on the back of your Rubik's Cube card.
Rubik's Cube. A German town that was swallowed by the sea almost a millennia ago has been located by geophysicists. Now, they know where it kind of was, and I don't know my geography, so what me saying it won't help at all, but these scientists, they shot science beams into, like, mounds of sea mud, suspecting that the former trading post could be buried beneath, and indeed found the remnants of some human structures and a church. It is a lot less glamorous than, like, Atlantis or the lost city of gold. It's like the lost village of mud, and hopefully now mud monsters containing the ghosts of the damned that are, like, in there, and... It got me thinking, like, if you use a stake through a vampire's heart or a bullet through a werewolf, what do you do to stop a mud monster? Mud monster also sounds like something that happens after you've done the donut beer running challenge.
yeah, it does. I just Googled how to say Atlantis in German, and it's
of course you did.
It's Atlantis. Which sucks, because I was like, oh man, we call it Germany, they call it Deutschland. We call it Atlantis, they call it Atlantis.
Yeah, right. What do they call it? Atlanta, I wonder. They probably
Atlanta.
They're probably not rude about it, and they call it its actual name rather than changing it to be like, nah, that's not how we say it.
Yeah.
We say it Germany.
Yeah.
They're like, what? Deutschland. Nah. Y'all dumb.
Yeah, imagine, like, should we just start shooting beams at all of the mud underwater?
I mean, at this point, I feel like it doesn't matter what we do anymore, so we should, yeah, just like, I want to shoot beams at everything. Just science
There's
beams.
There's Malaysian Flight 370 or like whatever.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, exactly.
Yikes.
Yeah, just don't, whatever you do, don't shoot the green lasers at the airplanes, because you will go to the federal prison, not to the drunk tank jail that you've been to when you drank too much with your cousin Tony or whatever. Like, that's, don't shoot lasers at the planes, everybody.
They're not like, we're put you in here to make you learn your lesson. They're like, no, you're going to prison.
Yeah, like, this will ruin your life, so good job, dummy. Yeah. I don't know. I've always, like, thought it would be cool to discover, like, I'm all about the antiquities, because I studied it in college and didn't finish, but, like, I think it's really cool. We've talked about it before, but what's it called? Anthropomorphically?
Anthropomorphic, isn't that when, like, something seems like
a human? It's when you add human quality to anthropomorphize something.
Yeah, yeah. You know, inanimate things.
So, like, do that to, like, any stuff that's in black and white. We're like, look at how cute those little adorable were back then, you know? It's like, we don't think of them as full-fledged humans. We think of them as idiots without the internet or whatever. And so when we find, like, imagine, not only did you not have the internet or electricity, but, like, you just pooped in a can and then poured it out on the street outside of your house. So it just smelled, like, awful all of the time, everywhere. And then people just got diseases all the time, and bathing was what killed you, they thought, you know? Like, I am obsessed with how weird worlds were like that. The fact that someone could build, like, a trading post that just got sucked up by the sea in one particularly bad storm is crazy.
Yeah, that's, like, that's what, to me, is the craziest thing, is that at a time when you would have had no warning, no idea of what's going on or what could happen, because, like, the precedent of what was happening around the world, if there was a coastal town that got buried, like, might be a thing that you may get information about, like, what could happen in the storm and why we should build our city somewhere else, right? Like, the Japanese would have a million stories about that, right, with the tsunami. And, like, there's historical record from millennia ago of these people in Japan, like, marking where these high storms came to. And instead, these people were just in this, like, German town, just, like, chilling, and then all of a sudden, like, oh, there's a bad storm. Oh, this is like a, oh, we're all dead. We're all dead now.
I can only imagine that they all died, right? That's gotta be.
Well, and then, but then I'm like, okay, Seattle, the city of Seattle,
Rainier starts rumbling and we're like, oh no!
Not even that. I mean, if you were like born, so I was born and raised in the Northwest, right? And when you, like geology and seismology are a huge part of your curriculum growing up. And I know it probably isn't like the Southwest as well, like in California and where there's like massive faults, but they have so many earthquakes that it seems kind of like, you know, back of mind kind of stuff, right? Well, I was terrified as a kid and then in college because they're like, oh yeah, if we ever get an earthquake, like a really, really bad earthquake in Seattle, like all of the Pioneer Square, which is where I was working at the time, like right after learning all of this, after graduating college, it's like all of Pioneer Square, which is built on sand that they moved from over here down to here so that they could build it on the water flat, that all just turns into jello and sinks. And I was like looking around at this brick building that I'm in, and as I'm like working there, they're like, oh, we should do some what do they call that, like earthquake retrofitting of some engineering stuff. I'm like seeing guys come in and I'm like, wait, this building isn't that yet.
cool,
yeah.
Double whammy.
Yeah, and I'm getting paid what to work here? Nothing.
And then for me it gets more bleak because sure, the earth melts away and you sink into the sea or whatever. Okay, bye Brandon, you get eaten by an orca, hopefully just your dream come true.
That's, yeah, absolutely.
A near whale related death.
Yeah.
But then additionally, you know, that earthquake happens, you gotta think Rainier's next.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And where does that pour all of its lava into? Maple Valley. Well, where you're from,
Eden Claw, where my brothers both currently live.
Yeah it's like there's, I guess living in the high ground of the of above the Snohomish River Valley is probably as good as you can get for up here. Good thing I'm moving.
Hey, Spokane's cool.
To Pioneer Square.
I want to die first.
Yeah, dude. Just drive straight towards the bomb, yeah, right? Yeah, that's what you do? So, you know when you see a headline that's totally clickbait, like, oh my God, I never believe what happened to the man who ate his laser or whatever, you know? A company called Artifact has launched an AI that will soon allow you to flag a headline as clickbait. The program will employ ChatGPT-4, of course, to scan the article and rewrite the headline so you better know if it's worth your time. Effectively, doing the journalism only without the clicks, I guess.
So we're getting cliff notes for BuzzFeed articles.
Right? So that you don't have to click through, right?
Yeah, okay.
I just think about what's next. It's like, you know, I try to think of a classic that everyone has to read or whatever, like the...
You'll never guess what this actor looks like now.
Yeah, and it's like, instead it's just like, hey, Robert Downey Jr. looks a little bit older.
Yeah, it's like, I literally could have guessed how Robert Downey Jr. Like, who... Yeah, I mean, are there any actors, like, I mean, there's maybe one actor, like Fisher Stevens, I wouldn't have guessed how he looked now, because I thought he was Indian.
I saw a thing today it's old, but it was like, shown to me on Instagram, it was like, it said, Lewis Hamilton, the F1 driver, there's a picture of him, and it said, divorced!
Oh.
And I was like, he married? And so I like, clicked it like an idiot, and it was like, he and his personal trainer, at the end of last season, parted ways. They weren't married. They didn't get divorced. It's just like so, like the fact that we're relying on the robots to make sure to not show me that, like the fact that like enough people like me have clicked on it that it's like, yep, keep showing this because people are clicking it is really a huge bummer. But then what happens when you take like classical literature or any like works of art, like specifically literature that, for me, like I love the book Shogun, but let's take something larger, like the Odyssey by Homer, the Greek classic, that we all had to probably read in high school and I probably didn't. Like what happens when ChatGPT can summarize it in 35 seconds and you can really understand what happened and we're like, whew, good, it's all in a headline and subheadline form. Now I don't need to consume it. And like, all of our information, it's already begun, but all of our information just comes at us in these tiny little tidbits of accuracy.
Do you think that part of me is like, yes, this is
Oedipus Rex bangs his mom.
Nice. There's a, I mean, part of me is like, this is bad, right? Like the, like my instinctual reaction is like, we shouldn't be so dumb that we need these things to filter this stuff out for us. But then the other part of me is like, like, this is how we get more efficient, right? Like, how we process information, how we consume information. Like, there's only so much information from each thing that you actually need, right? Like, that's why I love the subreddit, explain like I'm five, right? Because it takes complicated material, and you say, explain this to me like I'm 5 years old, and somebody who knows it will dumb it down for you. I like the idea of, like, explain like I'm five. Okay, now explain like I'm 15. Now explain, like, there's this YouTube video. Do you know who, what's his name? His name is Jacob. He's a piano player. He's crazy good. Anyway, there's a video that he does where he explains a form of piano playing that he knows to, like, a child, then to a music student, like a grad student, and then he explains it to, like, some, like, famous jazz pianist, right? And the conversation that he has each time obviously is wildly different. What I love about that is, like, that 5-year-old doesn't need all of that information, can't even handle all of that information. And so when I'm like ChatGPT, I'm like, hey, just give me the cliff notes to, like, the Odyssey, because I'm not going to need that when I'm older, you know? Like, it just makes us more efficient.
Explain karate to me like I'm five.
Explain karate like I'm five?
Yeah, let's see what ChatGPT says. Sure, karate is a really cool way of moving your body and learning how to protect yourself. It's like a special kind of exercise where you do different moves with your hands and feet. You can pretend to be like a superhero. Okay. I mean, it's almost like you're describe sex to me as if I'm five. It's like the same thing. Sex is a super cool way of moving your body and learning how to not protect, but inject yourself. It's like a special kind of exercise where you do different moves with your hands and feet. You can pretend to be like a superhero. So, like, explain karate to me like I'm 15 years old. So now we can get rid of the subreddit and just, like, come here and ChatGPT everything. Karate is a martial art that originated in Okinawa, Japan. It's moving, so it's hard to read. It focuses on developing self-defense skills, physical fitness, and then it scrolled away. So now I can stop.
Yeah.
I wanted it in, like, 100 words, and I didn't say so. Yeah, so, like you're saying, though, it's like a different...
I guess the point is, like,
who you're talking to.
It's the natural... to me, it feels like the natural next step of, like, just being more efficient with our information. Like, yes, efficiency could be the enemy of creativity, right? Like, you could say, like, oh, well, if everything's just about efficiency, then we wouldn't do music or art or all of these things, right? Like, you need to balance it, obviously. But, like, I don't need to know the deeper explanations of, like, thermodynamics, but I might be passively curious about it. So, like, I'll have some sense of
information. I'm passively curious about this. Tell me. I think that one advantage to it is that it will be able to weed out that garbage of, like, people that are, like, using our own inquisitive nature against us to sell us things. I think that in a non-capitalist world, it probably would work pretty well to make things efficient. But as the internet came around, people figured out how to, you know, grift people. And so this can probably help eliminate that. The amount of control it can do, or the dumbing down for us it can do. Or, like, if you're, you know, who's to say that if you're Googling in Florida that you're not getting different results about whatever you're looking up than you are here because of AI interfering with your search results. That type of thing is what starts to worry me, is when it's already happening, for sure. Anyway, whatever. It's not worth getting too crazy. In just 3 weeks, NASA is going to stuff a handful of pretend astronauts. Their real astronauts are just not going anywhere, in a small 3D printed Martian habitat. But it'll be here on Earth to test and see if we can coexist without eating one another for an entire year. I feel like these experiments happen a lot, where it, like, breaks down into, like, crazy, like, one guy's wearing pants as a shirt, Michael Scott style, like, right away, within, like, minutes.
Dwight immediately pees in the corner of the elevator.
Yeah, exactly. The reason why they're doing it is because the quickest trip to Mars would take us 8 months to get there. Okay, you can like figure that people live in the space station for that long already, and they can get by all right. But then once you get there, it's not like things get much better because you're still in a tiny little habitat with nowhere to go. We're not going to places where you'll be. It's not like you're going to Florida and then you'll be able to get out and like run around.
It's like going to Florida and then staying in your hotel room the entire time.
Well, it's like going from Florida to Arizona and then staying in your hotel room the whole time. Like, yeah, it's like, I don't even know that I want to get out. This place sucks. So it's like, I wonder how, like, what you think would be your first hang up that would drive you crazy, that you like wouldn't be able to survive in an enclosure if you had to live with three other people for a year in something, you know, the size of like one bedroom or whatever.
See, I think I know immediately the thing that would make me go like the first person to be accused of killing somebody on the plane because, or on the, like the survivor colony, because it, me, I feel like astronaut food has probably come a really long way, but all I can picture is people like slurping it through tubes.
Repressed rage, Brandon, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like the first time I heard that, I'd be like, hey, please don't do that. Like, let's eat it quietly. Let's do our best to eat this quietly.
And has anyone seen my noise-canceling headphones? Oh, dude. You get a text from your wife. You left them here at the house. No!
Stab, 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 stab.
Just immediate stabbing.
Yeah, I mean, that's like nothing else. I have a cat, and the cat licks itself nonstop, and if yeah, oh, I mean, I'm about to literally rip off my headphones just you doing that.
It's the worst. It'll be like, for me, it would be, we had a cat that would do that, and it would be at 45 minutes before I needed to wake up. That awful time when you wake up ahead of your alarm and you're like, oh, I can still get 45 more minutes. He'd be like, oh, were you planning on going back to sleep? Let me, I have a problem with the texture, that the sound that it makes, not the actual slurping, but the like sandpaper tongue against dry, dry fur, like makes me very uncomfortable. And yeah, sure enough, I'd be like up in full rage, like right away.
So. Yeah. Is that, so what would your, what would be the thing that your astro compatriot does that?
I would be killed immediately. Okay. Someone would kill me immediately because the snoring, it would just be, I snore. I'm giant.
Do you think you'd have allergies on Mars?
Well, you'd be in a space suit the whole time, so no. It'd be filtering all that stuff out.
I want to do this.
Go to Mars or do this experiment and murder people?
Yes. Yes. No, to not have allergies, I absolutely worth it. Because like the snoring, you snoring has made me realize how nice it would be. Because like I don't snore a lot, but it's like when I have allergies and I get like really stuffed up, like it absolutely immediately turns into snoring. And I hate it and I can't sleep. So if my wife snores while she's 8 months pregnant, I'm like, please stop. You have to wake up right now because I'm a jerk.
It's irrational though. You get irrationally angry. It's just, I can't help it. Like it's like the anger that comes from that. But yeah, I listened to this audiobook about this guy who was a monk, and he even talked about it. He was like, no, there was a special room for the monks who snored. Like they had their own bedroom that they, cause you, there's, people would like, people have limits no matter good of a Zen practitioner like, you are.
Even these monks who are like practicing total self-restraint and self-control are like, no, I'm going to stab that guy.
Like, and because that, in essence, you're not a bodhisattva, you're not Buddha here on earth, you're trying to find that, but boy, there's going to be distractions and that's going to be one of them. So I feel like you make rules about possessions that they should have, or they could have. I think it should be definitely, the monks should all have on-ear headphones that they can that they can put on and noise cancel away.
Yeah.
Just a supply of batteries and some over-ears. Let's go. All right. Well, I unfortunately have to go, Brandon, because I have a meeting with some finance people for real estate.
Oh.
What a day!
Yay.
You're actually on it, so you have to call too.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's,
cool. Can I be your lawyer?
You haven't passed the bar. It's not up to me. I would definitely say okay. Yes.
I feel like there should be a law that says that you can choose who represents you. Like, right? I think the law is like you can choose a lawyer or you can represent yourself, even if you're not a lawyer, yeah. Right? I feel like they should just say like, no, you can have anybody represent you. It's your choice.
I choose Snoop Dogg. No, canceled. I choose Marshawn Lynch. He's the type of guy that might just roll in.
Yeah, he might. He was in that episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, I forgot about that. I got to go back and watch that show again. I love it.
It's so good.
I've been through twice. All right. Well, I guess it's time that we look back on what did we learn this week. After all, this is a heady show. Brandon, you learn anything this week?
Yeah, I learned that it would have sucked to be a Atlantis German a millennia ago and not have any idea why your city was sinking.
Well, I learned, Brandon, that it would suck to be working in downtown Pioneer Square for no money and then have the sand beneath your building turn into jello.
Yeah, I mean,
jelly?
Jello. Yeah. As long as they were paying me a lot of money, it would have been fine.
Can't spend your money when you're dead.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Anything else? You learn anything else?
Yeah, I've learned that I would have definitely been the person to kill you immediately on Mars.
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
It's Nerd Talk Plus live Tuesdays at 10 a.m. on the Odyssey app, on demand where you get podcasts. Also the Odyssey app, that would be a great choice. I guess I'm going to not spend the night with Brandon ever. Probably a good start.
Hey, my wife snores. She's still alive.
Yeah. Yeah, she has your child inside of her, though. That's a weird way of saying that, yeah. Greg. You shouldn't have said it like that.
No, I feel like that's okay. I felt like that was okay.
In just 3 weeks, NASA is going to stuff a handful of pretend astronauts. Their real astronauts are just not going anywhere in a small 3D-printed Martian habitat. But it'll be here on Earth to test and see if we can coexist without eating one another for an entire year. I feel like these experiments happen a lot where it like breaks down into like crazy, like one guy's wearing pants as a shirt, Michael Scott style, like right away within like minutes.
Dwight immediately pees in the corner of the elevator.
Yeah, exactly. The reason why they're doing it is because the quickest trip to Mars would take us 8 months to get there. Okay, you can like figure that people live in the space station for that long already and they can get by all right. But then once you get there, it's not like things get much better because you're still in a tiny little habitat with nowhere to go. We're not going to places where you'll be... It's not like you're going to Florida and then you'll be able to get out and like run around.
It's like going to Florida and then staying in your hotel room the entire time.
Well, it's like going from Florida to Arizona and then staying in your hotel room the whole time. It's like, I don't even know that I want to get out. This place sucks. So it's like... I wonder how, like, what you think would be your first hang-up that would drive you crazy that you, like, wouldn't be able to survive in an enclosure if you had to live with three other people for a year in something, you know, the size of, like, one bedroom or whatever.
I know immediately the thing that would make me go, like, the first person to be accused of killing somebody on the plane survivor colony because it me. I feel like astronaut food has probably come a really long way, but all I can picture is people like slurping it through tubes.
Repressed rage, Brandon, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like the first time I heard that, I'd be like, hey, please don't. Do that. Like, let's eat it quietly. Let's do our best to eat this quietly. And
has
then,
anyone seen my noise canceling headphones? Oh, dude, you get a text from your wife. You left them here at the house. No.
Stab, 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 stab.
Just immediate stabbing.
I mean that's like nothing else. I have a cat, and the cat licks itself nonstop. And I'm about to literally rip off my headphones just you doing that.
It's the worst. It'll be like, for me, it would be, we had a cat that would do that, and it would be at 45 minutes before I needed to wake up. That awful time when you wake up ahead of your alarm and you're like, oh, I can still get 45 more minutes. He'd be like, oh, were you planning on going back to sleep? I have a problem with the texture that the sound that it makes, not the actual slurping, but the like sandpaper tongue against dry fur, like makes me very uncomfortable. And sure enough, I'd be like up in full rage, right away. So.
Yeah. What would be the thing that your astro compatriot does that
I would be killed immediately? Okay. Someone would kill me immediately. Yeah. because the snoring, it would just be, I snore, I'm giant.
Do you think you'd have allergies on Mars?
Well, you'd be in a space suit the whole time, so yeah. No. It'd okay. be filtering all that stuff out.
I want to do this.
Go to Mars or do this experiment and murder people?
Yes. Yes. No, to not have allergies, I absolutely worth it. Because, like, the snoring, you snoring has made me realize how nice it would be. Because, like, I don't snore a lot, but it's like when I have allergies and I get, like, really stuffed up, like, it yeah. absolutely immediately turns into snoring. And I hate it, and I can't sleep. But if my wife snores while she's 8 months pregnant, I'm like, please stop. You have to wake up right now because I'm a jerk.
It's irrational, yeah. though. You get irrationally angry. It's just I can't help it. Like, it's like the anger that comes from that. But yeah, I listened to this audiobook about this guy who was a monk, and he even talked about it. He was like, no, there was a special room for the monks who snored. Like, they had their own bedroom. People have limits. No matter how good of a Zen practitioner you are.
Yeah, even these monks who are like practicing total self-restraint and self-control are like, no, I'm going to stab that guy.
Yeah, like, and because that, in essence, you're not a bodhisattva. You're not Buddha here on earth. You're trying to find that. But boy, there's going to be distractions, and that's going to be one of them. So, yeah. I feel like you make rules about possessions that they should have, or that they could have. I think it should be definitely the monks should all have on-ear headphones that they can that they can put on and noise cancel away.
Yeah,
just supply of batteries and some over-ears. Let's go. All right. Well, I unfortunately have to go, Brandon, because I have a meeting with some finance people for real estate.
Oh,
what a day!
Yay!
You're actually on it, so you have to call too. So
okay.
It's
cool. Can I be your lawyer?
Well, you haven't passed the bar. It's not up to me. I would definitely say yes. Okay.
I feel like there should be a law that says that you can choose who represents you. Like, right? I think the law is like you can choose a lawyer or you can represent yourself, even if you're not a lawyer, right? I feel like they should just say, like, no, you can have anybody represent you. It's your choice.
I choose Snoop Dogg. No, cancel. I choose Marshawn Lynch. He's the type of guy that might just roll in.
Yeah, he might. He was in that episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, I forgot about that. I got to go back and watch that show again. I love it.
It's so good.
I've been through twice. All right. Well, I guess it's time that we look back on what did we learn this week. After all, this is a heady show. Brandon, you learn anything this week?
Yeah, I learned that it would have sucked to be a Atlantis German a millennia ago and not have any idea why your city was sinking.
Well, I learned, Brandon, that it would suck to be working in downtown Pioneer Square for no money and then have the sand beneath your building turn into jello.
Yeah, I mean...
Jelly?
Jello. Yeah. As long as they were paying me a lot of money, it would have been fine.
Can't spend your money when you're dead.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Anything else? You learn anything else?
Yeah, I've learned that I would have definitely been the person to kill you immediately on Mars. Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk,
yeah! It's Nerd Talk Plus live Tuesdays at 10 a.m. on the Odyssey app, on demand where you get podcasts. Also the Odyssey app. That would be a great choice. I guess I'm going to not spend the night with Brandon ever. Probably a good start.
Hey, my wife snores. She's still alive.
Yeah. Yeah. She has your child inside of her, though. That's a weird way of saying that, Greg. You shouldn't have said it like
no,
that.
No, I feel like that's okay. I felt like that was okay.